pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two is now underway. Text line, you want to be in touch with me, your show host, 251-343-0106. Got a ton of texts to get to. We'll get to those here in just a moment. April Marie Fogle, my colleague at 1819 News, will be with us. You never can have enough April Marie Fogle on the airwaves here at FM Talk 106.5. And in the 11 o'clock hour, Pastor Travis Johnson from Pathway Church up in Sibs. Looking forward to that discussion. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Recap of the news here. Yesterday, the three-judge panel issued an injunction, a preliminary injunction, very coarse language regarding the Alabama legislature, pumping the brakes on the so-called 6-1 map. And the consensus is Justice Thomas on the U.S. Supreme Court is going to handle that, and we will proceed as planned with the August 11th party primaries. So just if you're a Democrat and you're hoping to preserve what we have now, it's very, very difficult to foresee that lasting. Now, I asked Paul DeMarco, you know, we're playing this game of whack-a-mole with these guys. They are dead set on trying to, you know, reprimand, making examples, to condemn in the strongest possible terms efforts by the state of Alabama to do away with a Democrat congressional seat. It's very partisan. It's shamelessly partisan on behalf of these judges. And they're just, like I said, casting aspersions about the state of Alabama that are totally unfounded. That it's, there's a lot of conjecture here. It's not becoming of a federal judge. But here we are. And this is how they are operating. 251-343-0106. So we got that in the backdrop. Justice Thomas has given a June 1st deadline to hear from parties involved. So it looks, this is exactly how this played out the last time. And I think in a much more significant way, the Supreme Court had to get involved here. But Governor Ivey's moved back a deadline for about the special primary for 5 days to get things to make sure that they are within the legal confines of what the state has to do to hold these special election primaries for AL1s, AL2, AL6, and AL7. And we'll proceed from there. To the text line. Tim, what are your thoughts on Ag Commissioner? I see where Jack Williams has endorsed Corey Hill. I mean, Corey Hill got a plurality, but McInnes is coming on strong. The problem with the Williams endorsement, I don't know where that's going to be. That's a competitive race. There's a lot of unknowns there, a lot of undecideds. And I keep saying this, I said this on radio multiple places yesterday, this primary runoff next month, what you need to know about it, you can look at these percentages and all these media polls, and we got a polling war going on here, trying to create the public perception that to think one candidate's ahead of the other. that's just part of the game. But the percentages are less relevant than the raw vote totals. Here's how it works in theory in a low turnout election. You could poll really well and still lose. It's just, what if that day you're polling 5 points ahead, but all your support seems to be in one geographic location. But for whatever reason, traffic, rain, something going on can harm turnout. And if 1,000 voters, for whatever reason, decide not to go vote that day, I mean, that polling data doesn't really, it may be like scientifically true, but how reliable are those respondents? How likely are they to go out and vote? Because a lot of these surveys, and we learned this in this primary last week, people will respond to a survey saying that they are a likely Republican voter. Yes, I plan on voting in the May 19th primary. Then they don't go vote. Well, you know, there's nothing I'm really excited about voting, and it's such a hassle. I don't even know where I'm supposed to vote. Where do I even find that at? There's other things going on. We'll vote in the general election, and that's where I'll make my voice heard. I mean, there's all kinds of calculations and rationalizations. It's not as if there's like something on the ballot that people are very, very excited about. The 22 numbers stacked next to the 26 numbers. Democrats were excited to go out and vote. They wanted to wage a protest against the redistricting. But they voted in a Democrat primary. I mean, that is tangible evidence of Democrat enthusiasm. Republicans, not so much. Let me just put it this way. Democrat turnout was, percentage-wise, triple digits higher than it was in 2022 under similar circumstances, a midterm primary election. Republican voter turnout was down double digits, some significant numbers throughout the state. I think of the Big Ten, only one place saw higher Republican turnout than 2022, and it was Lee County, which is drifting in a blue direction, and it has been for a long time because of the growth of Auburn University. But two counties in particular where Democrats did exceptionally well, Tuscaloosa County and Madison County, historically, at least the last 20 years, have been easily Republican. Does this carry over? Can Democrats showed what they were capable of, and maybe they showed their hand here. Does that enthusiasm carry on till November is the question. And what I keep liking in this, too, it was the Dobbs decision 4 years ago, which sort of muted the Republican cycle. What was supposed to be a Republican cycle, and it ultimately was, because Republicans got the House of Representatives, but the margins and the victories just weren't there like a lot of people had anticipated. It was not a wave election. There was not this backlash against Joe Biden that people had anticipated. And that's because the Planned Parenthoods and the pro-choice crowd got out to vote. It's a very passionate issue. People did not get passionate about the court, thinking it was like the correct decision. That did not motivate them to vote. But the ones who thought it was the wrong decision did go out and vote. And that's a lot of, like what we're seeing here with Louisiana versus Calais, that it's in turn become this weaponized get out the vote mechanism for Democrats, at least in the South, in these red states. Is Tommy Tuberville going to lose? No. Here's some breaking news. This is up on CNN right now. New York Times, : FBI finds $40 million in gold bars at ex-CIA official's home. What do you do with $40 million in gold? But you can't move that. What do you do with $40 million in gold? David Rush asked for and received foreign currency as tens of millions of dollars of gold bars for worker-related expenses. Falsely identified as an airline as a fighter pilot. So, you're deep state at work here. LV writes, the DNC is broke. They have no money. But they don't need the money. It's not about manufacturing enthusiasm. They have enthusiasm. Mike, is it really a bad thing if some of these state Republicans who raised overtime taxes took over the VA board, decapped the PSC, won't pass a real school choice bill, and constantly shill for the big mules, or sent home? I'm sick of voting for Republicans in the state of Alabama who won't do the voters' will. But, Mike, I think your opportunity was in the primary. Like I said, there's a few seats, though. I think the Barfoot seat and with Tabitha Eisner. And I think Will Barfoot has generally been a good member of the state Senate. And then up in Madison County, Tom Butler, retirement. John Roberts is the Republican nominee. I don't know anything about the Democrat nominee up there. But you can't help but look at the Maryland Lands, City of Madison, state rep. It was a special election. And what had happened, Mike Ball, friend of the show, friend of mine, he retired. He had a guy run win the seat, but did not live in the district. And that's against the law in the state legislature. Had to give up his seat and serve some jail time. And then you had a special election called by the governor. And this is all while the Dobbs phenomenon is playing out. The abortion, because we have the abortion ban in Alabama now. That's the law of the land. And she ran against that. She won. A vocal pro-abortion Democrat wins a state legislative seat. This is not, you know, the conservative blue dog Democrat of yesteryear. This is a real Democrat won that seat. And I think that's indicative of things to come in some places around the state. More of your text on the way. Stay tuned. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. You buying it? Jill Biden. So there's an interview that's supposed to air Sunday morning on CBS Sunday morning. And they've released some of the snippets from it. The Joe Biden debate, the one that ended his presidential run, his reelection run, the weird debate. You never seen this before. Summer, long before any other debates had historically had been held between presidential candidates. She says she thought that he had had a stroke. He was so out of it. I think they had to know, especially Jill Biden had to know, like, that there was something that this had not been just a wow, we didn't realize he was this bad. And the same is true because it's like the entire country knew. And the entire country, at least Democrat primary voters, still went with Biden. They could have run another candidate. Does anybody buy in this? Oh, wow, we just didn't know. Here we are 2 years later. And we're still going to go through this charade. Wow, that debate really opened our eyes. Like, we knew Joe Biden was having some struggles. And what's, like, just so pathetic is to try to 25th Amendment Trump after dismissing the claims about Joe Biden 2 years ago. Give it a rest, guys. Ultra Runner, the court's motivations are deeper than partisanship. Reading the history section of the order makes it clear they view themselves as modern-day emancipators. It's not enough to be more powerful than you. They must be more moral than you. Yeah, that's accurate. And but we'll be reminded, Ultra Runner, how these are Trump appointed judges over and over and over and over again. Sean says Israel funded Hamas. Okay. Fire Dog. No one is gonna sell Iran a nuclear weapon for fear that they would use it against him. Russia has their own problems with Islamic militants. North Korea couldn't do it without Chinese approval. China isn't that stupid. The EU isn't going to do it. So that's just a dumb comment. Use some critical thinking, people. Miami issues. You act as 50% of the American population cannot read beyond the sixth grade level. Is it dangerous? They aren't voting. They are being lied because they have cognitive abilities to think for themselves. They lack the cognitive abilities to think for themselves. Jeff, those are the facts. Well, what's been the reading level of American citizens since its inception? Have we ever had 100% literacy? Somehow, the country's in danger because of this. I don't know where you're coming from. I think you're just doing it because you need to pat yourself on the back that you got a degree from the University of Alabama, Huntsville or something. If everybody were just, this is like a Dollar General version of the political science professors I used to have. That if we had like Plato's Republic, we had the smart people making all the decisions. And we could order society in a way, and we would all be better off. It's just that has never really worked. Because humans are flawed beings. We're all fallen. And you can't just have one omnipotent or a group of omnipotent people that don't end up serving themselves ultimately. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
To you. I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. More of your text coming up throughout the program. So to come on the program, Travis Johnson, he's the lead pastor at Pathway Church. We have him on regularly. He'll be in the 11 o'clock hour. But joining us now, because as the slogan goes, you never can have enough April Murray Fogle on FM Talk 106.5. April Murray Fogle joins us, my colleague at 1819 News, 1819news.com. April Murray, how are you?
I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
Doing well. And I guess you had the story, and I've been spending a lot of time on it, but the just stark contrast in voter turnout last Tuesday, Republican versus Democrat. Not a problem statewide necessarily, but certainly a problem locally.
Well, I think it shows something's happened. For the longest time, Democrats in the state didn't have anybody to mobilize them. They didn't have a formal effort. They were working against one another. It was all but a miracle Doug Jones got in, and that was because of all of the Republican voter suppression. So watching any place, especially some of these red places, see such great voter turnout is surprising.
Well, it's the shit to Madison County is going to be a problem. And probably I put this theory out there earlier on the program. I think we're going to get the 6-1 map. I think Justice Thomas is about to tell the 3-judge panel to go pound sand and go find something else to do with your spare time on your Memorial Day weekends. But Shamari Figures is going to run for that second congressional seat. And I don't know what the trajectory is for Rhett Marcus, but if you have a weak Wiregrass Republican nominee versus an incumbent Democrat with Montgomery very, based on the numbers you compiled, with a Montgomery very motivated to vote in a way they haven't been since Obama was on the ballot in 2008, Republicans better watch out for a slip up there.
Yeah, that is the thing. So after the story went live, I heard from Republicans that were like, "Max on this whole election cycle." So they're not feeling the excitement for any candidate. They know Tuberville's going to do well. Got to hope Tuberville's campaign amps up a lot and there's some coattails to ride on, because no one's getting out to vote right now. And it's just, we're not, even with all the other competitive constitutional office races going on, people just aren't thrilled. Democrats, however, are ticked. And we know it can happen when you have a ticked off electorate.
Well, so in 2022, you had Biden in the White House. Mm-hmm. And I think that was an organizing principle for Republicans to get out and vote relative to Democrats. Democrats had anything on the ballot. They had the White House. There was nothing there, but we kind of didn't think much of it because it's the Alabama Democratic Party. It just exists to exist. They see the writing on the wall. But I think everything is so nationalized that we look at it from the prism of the Republican side, but this Louisiana decision has really gotten Democrats in Alabama motivated and engaged.
It really has, and it would be interesting to see how well they turn that anger energy into voting, and what Shamari Figures is able to make out of all of the attention he's getting, because that's what it is. He's getting a lot of attention, and not just in our state but across the Southeast, from Democrats who are like, no, he deserves that seat. We're owed that seat. And I don't know that Republicans quite understand. I watched hours of that rally in Montgomery. I don't know that Republicans quite understand how passionate, however misguided that passion is, they are about keeping a second seat in Alabama.
Yeah, but the thing is, you think about running against an incumbent. Now, look, he's got different lines, different voters, but he's still an incumbent. All he's got to do is walk out to his mailbox and raise money. I mean, that's how that works. Yep. You're an incumbent member. Somebody's going to write you a check for your campaign reelection. And also, I just think the DCCC is going to take a look at this. And you know, they're going to look at these seats in Florida and Texas and other places. I think they're going to take a look at AL2. Do you think the Republican, the House version, NRSC, is going to look at Brett Marcus and AL2? When they got to fend off challenges to other income? I don't think they will. I think there's some problems here.
I think that we could have some problems here. And then you look at those who have money in this state, and where are they going to put their money? Are they going to put their money, are you a Senate race? Are they going to put or some of these other races, are they going to put the money on this House race? And even within the state, I don't see a lot of enthusiasm to Rep Marquis.
Well, the big mules will just hedge. You'll just give money to both, that'll be a wash. But he's going to be, for a Democrat challenger and effectively a Democrat incumbent, but he's going to be well-funded. And now, how battle-tested are Republicans? How battle-tested is this Republican Party? Sometimes they don't, in these situations, don't perform that well. We saw that with Shamar Figures and Carolyn Dobson 2 years ago. We absolutely saw with Doug Jones, Roy Moore. Is there going to be, sure, we're a Republican voting state and we love to go to the dinner twice a year, but what's it going to take? And they got to, there's some work that's got to be done here if this 6-1 map holds.
Well, and you look at that, bringing back to the Republican, the Carolyn Dobson and Shamari Figures. I might be biased because it's a woman thing, but I feel like she's a stronger candidate than Brett is. She motivated people in her own way to get out. And I just don't see that. I mean, you guys just dealt with all of the, Jerry Carl primary stuff. I don't see an enthusiastic, woo-hoo, I'm going to jump out of bed and go vote for Brett Marquis.
Well, the other thing is, he did well. You draw a straight line through AL1. The eastern half voted for him and the western half voted for Jerry. But there's just more people in the western half. Geographically, and that turned out to be a significant factor in this election. But you take the new district and you draw a line halfway between what is the heart of the Wiregrass and what is the heart of the river region of Montgomery, and there are way, way more people in Montgomery. It is a Montgomery-centric district. It's not Dothan. It's not Enterprise. It's none of those places. It is a bona fide Montgomery. Now, you don't get Prattville. Prattville stays with Gary Palmer. But Wetumpka South goes into AL2. And it just feels to me like the Republicans got some work to do there, and maybe they don't see it coming, except maybe we've been kind of beating it like a dead horse on this show.
Well, it'll be interesting, again, you mentioned the NRCC, do Republicans nationwide, does somebody from D.C. go, uh-oh, we're in trouble there? And they know in D.C., they know Shafari Figures, and they've watched him long enough to know, okay, we don't want this guy to come back. And so there might be some national interest there. But I still think Coach Somerville, he's got, he's going to motivate some people, especially against Doug Jones.
Yeah, that's got to be the hope here that, I'm going to make my vote count in the general election thing going on here, that they will show up for that. But like I said, this redistricting stuff is this cycle's Dobbs decision. It got Democrats, and it muted what should have been otherwise a pretty good Republican night, but it was kind of a Republican night.
It wasn't him. And I talked to people, why didn't you turn out? People had just zero interest. They'd hear in hearing the radio ads and seeing this, they knew Tuberville were good, and they just didn't care to show. And that worries me, just as somebody who's like, every single vote has to happen, it worries me a little.
Well, I think some of these state legislative seats, look, incumbents generally did well in statewide races, I mean, in state level races, I need to say, Ledbetter had a decent night, 7-11. There's still some of these seats, I guess, that got to go to a runoff, and we'll find out what happens there. But right now, it occurs to me that Madison County, Huntsville, I mean, that's moving in a big way toward the Democratic Party.
Well, and we've been kind of watching it from, like, they're mobilizing the anti-president stuff, some of the No King stuff they've been mobilizing. But there's a difference between motivating people to get out for an event versus to get out and vote. And they figured out how to get in to vote, too.
Yeah, well, I just we spent a lot of time on this. The Three Dodge panel here, man, did they not like the Alabama legislature, do they?
No, not at all. They were like, yeah, we could make this easy for you and do this knowing that the Supreme Court's going to do something. But nah, we'll put our finger in your eye one more time. And, you know, a lot of that I'm hearing and have heard is the judges is not liking our lawyers. And so, you know, one last, we gotcha. Now, is there any chance, and this is me asking, like, is there any chance the Supreme Court says no because this is a gerrymandered District 2?
I don't think so. I think they just tossed the injunction. This isn't this isn't what we expected. The three judges, they had their hearing on Friday at 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning. They issued the injunction. They knew what they were going to do.
Mm-hmm. Running out the clock.
Yeah, and what I'm worried about, though, is are we going to be in this constant state of whack-a-mole with these guys? Like, are they just going to come out with another injunction in 2 weeks, and we're going to play this game? But
well, and it's to the Dems' benefit, right? It costs, you know, energy and money to fight these things over and over again. And so is confusion in terms of the voters. And so I think hopefully this is it. This is, you know, Supreme Court saying no more, then that's done. Wasn't there a provision in there also that said if they draw a whole new map, it's also done?
I don't know.
I feel like I saw a provision in there that said, you know, it's enjoined as long as you're using the map we already said no to, but if you draw a whole new map. Now, I'll have to double check that, but I felt like I saw that there. And so I feel like they're going to go away, but they're going to make it really, really difficult for them to go away.
Well, this whole construct and the way that they've gone about it for years now, it wasn't long for this world. You cannot build the Democrats' political strategy on relying on the VRA to be there in perpetuity, I don't think was going to was a sound strategy. And
no,
you know, they long term, I think Democrats got problems. Short term, they're in good shape.
Well, but you look at, again, it goes back to that. I want to bring up Dasher for those who haven't read one of my pieces. It's this mentality that that everything has to be bad, right? Like that's what the court was saying. You guys can't be trusted. The maps, inherently, you clowns in Alabama made a racist map. And I'm thinking nearly any map we made would have been challenged, and we would have been through the same thing. That's just where we are.
Well, it's such a subjective assessment. Like there's no evidence that Governor Ivey woke up one morning. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to call a special session, and I'm going to get those rednecks of the Alabama legislature to draw a racist map. So this is just, right.
It's for show, for donors. It's like SPLC all over again.
But there's none of that. That's not, you know, but that's what these judges and these lower courts are at least suggesting, that they had some kind of racial animus. That you know, it's not about race. And here's how I know that's true. If African American voters in Alabama voted Republican, do you think we'd even be talking about this right now?
No, not at all. No.
It is clearly for power. It is partisan. It is
absolutely.
It has little to do. It has nothing to do with race. It is all about achieving more seats, more power for the Republican Party. Now, you could disagree with that. You could say that's wrong, but that's a far different thing from, you know, one of the biggest, you know, the one of the worst things you can be called in our society is racist. And that's it's a far different thing from that. Yeah, sure. Is it power grab? Is it unseemly? Sure. I mean, we could have that debate. But racism is not something you just need to just throw out. And these guys just toss it around like it's no big deal.
I've been saying this for years. When you dilute a definition to the point where anything you can say, you know, any microaggression, from any microaggression, mispronouncing a name to doing, you know, doing your regular job, it can be called and will be called racist. People really, like, the word itself loses power. And that's what they've done in these. This is, they've called Wolf way too many times. I think the Supreme Court is going to knock this down. And I think ultimately we're going to get a 7-0 map. And it's going to happen while people are screaming racist, racist, racist. But we heard that. You're calling us racist when we tried to do a 6-1 map. It's a power grab, just like you said, and can be disguised as nothing else.
April, where are folks going to find you online? How can they do so?
Best place to read my news is on 1819news.com. And then I'm on X, APRYLMARIE.
April Marie Fogle, ladies and gentlemen. April Marie, we appreciate it. All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.
Counting flowers on the wall. Solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. It's good to see you. I must go.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Mommy Issues, who, has a degree from the University of Alabama, Huntsville, and spends his mornings listening to the program and texting endlessly, writes, "Oh, you mean the same charade Republicans are having with Trump's grabbing by the you-know-what remarks? And it's Commissioner Jean Carroll, never mind, 13-year-old, told cops Trump and Epstein raped her. I'm not patting myself on the back, you moron. It's the Dollar General excuses you give the morons you cater to. Why Huntsville and Madison are moving towards the blue-educated people is that simple. Both you and April are pathetic racist. You call it grabbing Republican power, yet majority black districts have no representation. Sad part is, you know, you're pathetic little racist. You're just an angry little man. You go get your juice box. I'm sure it's going to be nap time soon. If you wanted to do this proportionately, you would draw 7 congressional districts with 35% African-American population in them. You wouldn't draw 35% of the districts African-American. That's how you would do it. You want to make the districts a reflection of Alabama with the same race composition. Draw them all equally. Because you can't achieve 7 congressional seats with the exact proportion without drawing a district that looks like an octopus. This is a power grab. It's nothing to do with race, and you know it. You're just mad because I guess your book club is getting smaller. That no one is... No one's buying your pseudo-intellectual stick, buddy. And that's why you texted to this radio show. Ben asks, where's your favorite burger from, Jeff? Locally? You got to go to Ben's. up Section Street in Fairhope. Callahan's in Mobile. Not something I give a lot of thought to. I was listening a little bit to the morning show. But there's no light. Man, I gotta have a burger. Those are my off the top of my head recommendations. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. We'll get to more of your text on the other side. Stick around. This is the Jeff Boer Show on FM Talk 106.5.
But they still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will. And on the old town square, under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair.